Oh, sorry, I forgot to bring that up. We back on?
Yeah. We'll be right back.
We will be right back.
Unity on there.
More. Oops.
Right.
It's not. Don't see Unity's thing yet.
That's
Sorry, guys, we're still working on getting connected here. So the question is, what do you do when you're waiting?
Meditate or contemplate.
Not a bad idea.
Crochet.
Just be.
Just be as good.
Those of you who just signed in, we're experiencing a few technical difficulties this morning, but we will be set in a few moments. You can ask yourself this question while we're waiting. If, what would it be like if you discovered yourself vibrating at a higher frequency? When I say what would that feel like, I don't mean what would that feel like emotionally. But how would you experience? How would you know? That might be real interesting. How would you know you're on a higher frequency?
Notice a change from where you were before.
Yeah,
Wouldn't you be able to discern the difference? Like a thought or something that was presented to you and you saw it in a different way, or it was an aha, yeah, that's the right answer.
we have to be aware enough to be able to do that,
You have to
right?
be able to compare it to something.
Again, I'll go back to a very simple piece of wisdom that came my way a couple of years ago. And that was when confronted with a thought or a contemplated action, to ask ourselves the question, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? And to get a sense of the difference between those two. For instance, if you could imagine yourself sitting next to, and maybe you're doing this already, but sitting next to someone you deeply care about, someone who cares about you, and just get a sense of the vibration and the energy of that connection. Usually you will experience it as being calmer than usual. You're not protecting yourself, your heart's open. Then if you were to change positions here and imagine that you're sitting next to somebody you can't stand, and notice the shift in the energy. Notice what happens to your, when I say your heart, I don't mean your physical heart necessarily, but notice what happens. One is an openness, for me anyway. Another is a kind of a closeness, a shutting down, separation. And I think we can apply that same principle to a lot of other circumstances in our lives, especially when we're dealing with vibration. Does it open my heart? Does it close my heart? And after a while, it becomes rather simple. I won't say easy necessarily, but it becomes rather simple to be able to tell the difference between the two. And as soon as I shut down, making a judgment on somebody or putting them in a dark place or whatever it happens to be, as soon as I shut down, I'm able to begin to recognize and say, oh, I'm shutting down, closing myself. I'm closing myself off from my connection with the source. I'm closing my heart. I am not looking at this person, place, thing, or situation. I am not looking at it lovingly. How can I do this differently? So let's take a moment. I encourage you to breathe. Right now, my mind's going in about 9 million different directions. I want to make sure the electronics keep working, but I don't want to let that interfere with what we're teaching and learning about today. So, know that I might be jumping around a little bit. That's not your problem, it's mine. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And if you get that, however you get it, maybe that's all we need to do this morning. Peace, be still. I'm going to begin on page 191. Please be aware we might be interrupted occasionally where our technicians are putting things together for whatever reasons. So unless anybody's got anything you want to throw in first before we get started, we will take off on page 191. You might recall in the first book, I Am the Word, the guides mentioned that we could teach you all of this material simply by vibration and letting you, giving you the opportunity to tune into higher vibrational levels. Learning can take place that way. But since most of you are human beings, and don't necessarily learn all that way directly through vibration, that we're going to use words and we're going to use books and we're going to use other ways of being able to connect with you. But try not to, I think what they're saying is, try not to get too involved with your head. Don't try to understand everything with your mind, because the understanding and the activity will come to you in a higher level of your being. So page 191. Here we go. The teaching you are receiving was manifested by us in writing and in tone. In tone means vibration. And as you know, the decrees we work with, the claims of truth we teach you with, are encoded with vibration so that you may be attended to in frequency. As we progress with you, the intonation will actually be transformed. You can imagine that your ears that only hear certain tones will suddenly be open to a higher tone that has always been playing. You will be listening in a higher way to what has always been present. There may be many octaves in one claim of truth, which is why you don't say them all at once. I'm trying to think of a good example for that. Well, let's take seeing and hearing on a physical level. We know that, let's say with sight, for instance, that we have what we call the visible spectrum of light. And that's sort of, let's say the visible spectrum of light is like this. But then there are other waves, the infrared and the ultraviolet, which kind of move way, way out here, which we can't see with our physical eyes. We can measure them with machinery and things like that. We can't see them physically. What they're saying here is that as we work with you, your vision, your ability to be able to see higher or hear or respond to higher vibration will be more and more present. And so, you know, I encourage people to ask themselves every once in a while, and just check this out within yourself, is how have I grown? How have I been stretched? How do I see things, including myself? How do I see things differently than how I might have, let's say, last week? And don't just try and throw that off and say, oh, it's the same old, because it's not. And don't listen to your small self, your little self, your ego consciousness. Well, you haven't changed a bit. The fact that you're here on another Sunday morning, whatever brought you here, I think comes with the realization that something, in other words, I know I'm not wasting my time every Sunday. So, well, I think I'm going to waste my time Sunday morning again, like I did for the last couple of weeks. No, I don't think so. I think there's an awareness, whether we're totally conscious of this or not, there is an awareness that we are growing, that we are being stretched, that my vision, my awareness is further along than it might have been maybe even an hour ago. And so please, I really encourage you to give yourself some credit for that. You might not be able to prove it to yourself through the intellect or through the thinking mind, but it's still very much there. I am here because I have been challenged. I am here because I've been stretched. I am here because I am willing to grow. And that's not the same as it was a day ago or a week ago or a month ago.
Gary.
Yes.
Do we eventually become aware of hearing tone and vibration? Because I don't ever really feel tone and vibration. I just have thought. But not it's not coming in tone or vibration.
Well, it's a really good question because I don't want to get lost in, well, I'm not hearing what I'm supposed to be hearing, so I haven't grown at all. Let's just stick with what you said, Diane, because I think that's very important. Let's suppose that instead of just looking at a thought, being the substance of my brain, my substance of my intellect working. Let's suppose that a thought by itself contains vibrational energy, and that I can experience that. I'm not necessarily always sure how I'm experiencing that, but I can. So let's say, for instance, that okay, here's a good example. I had a friend of mine, this was years ago, but I'll never forget it. She said to me, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I'm a mess." And she kind of laughed and smiled and looked at me and said, "You're not a mess. You feel like a mess. But you're not a mess. It's not who you are." Now let's take a look at that as an idea. I'm a mess. And the vibration that that holds, because it does. If I say it out loud, or if I claim it as being my truth in this moment, it's almost like a weight pulling me down. It's stopping my ability to choose. Now, if I say, I feel, in other words, I am a mess carries with it a certain vibrational level, a low vibrational level that can kind of pull me or suck me under. Or let's suppose I shift channels here and I go to another thought. I go to, one of Unity's ideas. I am a child of God. I do not inherit illness. That's an idea, it's a thought. But notice the vibration that it carries with it. It's not just a thought. It's not just an idea. It carries with it the whole vibration of healing, the whole vibration of not being stuck on negativity. A huge difference. So, your question, Diane, is we might be looking over here for what that vibration feels like. Whereas it might be taking place right now with just within the thoughts you're holding on to.
Gary,
So, yeah.
let me bring it down to a different. I'd like to describe an experience I've just went through, or and am still going through, where I think I can take it down to a practical level. So I develop training content. And I do that for different areas of our organization. I was sent a document much earlier in the year, I mean like 6, 7, 8 months ago, apparently. And I'm going to assume that I was in a position where I was not vibrationally willing to look at the content.
Okay.
I was asked to edit it and change it. And there were three people who edited that content or gave me feedback on the content in writing, 68 pages worth. And I was apparently not willing to respond to it. I don't really remember receiving that document. That 68 pages was actually content that I had written. And so this week it came back up. And I looked at that 68 pages and these, I don't know, about 100 different comments. And because the 68 pages is only, these are all different little pieces of different pieces of the total package. They're all taken out of context. They're all, I mean, it's just, it's almost absurd how, because these people who, in some cases, they just don't understand the whole context. I was at first, the first time I saw this and went through it, I was angry. I was frustrated. I was, how do you expect me to respond to this? I'm not going to go through this. How do I get rid of this as quickly as possible? And that was my vibrational level.
Mm-hmm.
And I was embarrassed. How did I miss this the first time?
Mm.
And then over the course of, I don't know, the last 5 days, I was able to go back in multiple times and respond to each. I mean, this was all online. I was able to respond to each comment. And then I realized that these comments, my responses were not appropriate because they were angry. They were curt. I prayed. I went back in and I responded again and again and again. And I'm going to go back in on Monday and I'm going to respond again with more love. But it's getting there. And, but it's a growth. It's a growing process because some of their stuff is really appropriate. I am learning from their feedback. But my first response was just, you have got to be kidding me. What do you know about this? Well, it turns out that some of their responses are very useful. And it turns out that in some cases, I can help them to understand why their response is not going to work in the real world. It's all about, you know, I am working on my emotional response, my vibrational response to their feedback. And, but I've had to do this with prayer. So thanks.
Thanks, John. The word that keeps reverberating, or the idea that keeps reverberating for me right now, it is choice. And see, I have to be awake enough or aware enough to realize that I have a choice of the thoughts that I choose, the vibrational level that I choose, however you want to put that. And that might be another way of looking at our own growth. How has my ability to choose higher level vibration, how has that expanded in my life? How has that been stretched? How has that been more open? No matter what our spiritual practice might be, I believe, you know, if it's A Course in Miracles, if it's Paul Selig stuff, if it's unity consciousness, where self-realization fellowship, whatever it happens to be, I think it's all directed towards that whole idea of having, of being aware of the choices that I have of what I hold on to and what I vibrate with. When you claim, I know who I am, what I am, how I serve, I am here, I am here, I am here, on a Tuesday, the intonation you receive in your field will be very different, perhaps, than when you claim it on a Sunday. And your field is already transformed by your requirements and growth. Now, as we teach you, we are playing music to accompany you on the path. I think they're getting, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek there. Not necessarily playing, but we are regulating the vibrational level of things. This is not just music so you are happy. This is music that holds your field, holds your energy. Some of you will feel this when you are resting. Now, feel, it doesn't mean feel in an emotional sense. It means be aware of or sense. Trying to think of another good example of that. You can sense when somebody loves you, even though it might not be attached to an emotion or a romantic emotion emotion. So when they talk about feeling here, we're not talking about feeling in the emotional sense. We're talking about awareness on an energetic sense. You will feel the vibration through the systems you hold. You are awakened at night by a buzzing through the senses, through your skin. And if we say to you, this is us with you, and it is you with us, and your own guides acclimating your vibration to the atmosphere on the mountainside. And I must say, I've never experienced that. So don't say, well, I haven't experienced that. There must be something wrong with me. You must be prepared for this ascension up the mountain. Do you understand this? Be ready for the changes that are going to take place in your life. Be ready for the challenges that are going to show up. It's like if I pray for patience, I'm not automatically given the gift of patience. What shows up, all kinds of things that challenge me to be patient. It's like that prayer, Lord, make me patient right now. You must be prepared for the octaves that will play. The ears must be open, if you wish to use the metaphor, to acclimate to the sound that is there. In other words, the higher vibration always exists, but we only participate in it when we choose to participate in it. When A Course in Miracles suggests, how could I see this differently? Essentially, it's asking us, first of all, are you willing to see this differently? And then can you open yourself up to seeing this differently? And can you let go of how you think you're supposed to hold this differently and let the light shine within you or move within you, the vibrational level move within you to do its work with you and for you, not with your head, but in ways that you might not even be able to intellectually understand. Yeah, Linda?
Well, I've been working on how can I see this different.
Yeah, if you could.
I've been working on this week about how could I see this differently with everything that's going on, particularly in Israel, Palestine, and whatever. I haven't come up with a real answer, but I'm trying not to be so angry and upset with one side or the other. But I always go back to the question of why. Of why are we going through this? What is the lesson here? And why is it that so many people, whether they chose, brought this to them, why do so many people have to suffer? When we've been through this so many times and we don't learn.
Question is, one level of questioning is, why are we doing this? Why are we playing into the insanity again? We've already been down this road before with the same ending. Do we expect to have a different ending here? And we might ask ourselves the same question individually. How often have I tried anger to fix something? How often have I used judgment to fix something? Even to change myself. You know, get out the cat and nine tails and start whipping myself. And so you've taken more than the first step, Linda, when you talk about that, of saying, first of all, my prayer is to see this differently. I don't know how that's going to show up. I don't know why that's going to show up. But see, by saying that or by willing that, I don't want to then go back to why is this happening again? Because I'm almost negating the prayer that I spoke a moment ago of let me see this differently. Because when I ask myself the question, why are we doing this again? I'm saying, well, isn't this so freaking ridiculous that we're doing something insane that we did 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Or 500 years ago, and expecting different results. So I want to say, yeah, that's a normal question my mind is going to ask. But at the same time, what I am really after on a spiritual level is how can I see this differently? Because I realize on some level of my being that the violence I'm seeing out there has something to do with the violence that's going on in here. And unless I change that, or unless I'm willing, and by simply by saying, you know, I want to see this differently, this is also saying, I am willing to change this. I am willing to change my point of view. I am willing to change how I'm looking at things. I don't know what that's going to turn into, but I don't want to slide back into judgment or condemnation or that insanity again, because all that's going to do is going to keep me in the same mire that I was in before. But just the realization that I'm thinking about, or I'm desiring to see this differently, is a whole energetic level that's different from what we might have had before. So I really encourage you to stay with that one.
Jerry, I really like that instead of us looking for the end to things the way they are, maybe we could look for a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look for a new beginning in time, that's vibrational.
Yes, it is.
That's a vibrational, and mm-hmm. it's a dream that I would dream. You know, and it's vibration. It's a new message to me. A new beginning, not an end.
There's a beautiful song in Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it only shows up in the movie. I don't think it shows up in the play, but it's Mary Magdalene singing a song called Could We Start Again, Please? It is incredibly beautiful. Okay. And saying just what you're saying, Diane, okay? Because just that question, or asking that question, and letting go of how the answer is going to show up, but just that question by itself creates a whole different energy field than the one we might have been sitting in before. Could we start again, please?
Jerry, in this one sentence here, as we say to you, this is us with you, and it is you with us and your own guides acclimating your vibration to the atmosphere of the outside. What does it mean by your own guides?
Well, we've all got them, okay? We might have called them guardian angels.
That's
when we were growing up. Today the more appropriate terminology are guides or a guide who are, according to metaphysical teaching anyway, there are guides who are with us sometimes through our whole lifetime. And there are other guides that show up at certain times in our lives to help us through some rather steep lessons that we have chosen to be with and have chosen to be with us. So before I came back, before I incarnated on planet Earth, along with, let's say, my guardian angel or my guiding spirits, right? There was a whole bunch of input of people who were part of this trip, part of this journey, that decided, okay, we're going to help when this shows up, in this particular, when your alcoholism shows up, right, we're going to be here to help you guide through that. Now, obviously, you have choices you're going to have to make, and some of those choices are not going to be terribly easy. But we're going to be, if you are willing to allow us to help you, we will help you. No matter what the, so I believe that there are guides with us that are with us throughout this particular lifetime that we're in. And there are also guides or spiritual beings, whatever you want to call them, okay, who show up periodically for different circumstances or different instances in our lives to help us through or to help us learn whatever it is we're supposed to learn there. That's continually going on all the time. You are never alone. Help is always available. It's always there. Because that's interesting. I think that's the first time they refer to other guides other than themselves. And what I think what they're saying is, you know, we're not the only ones who are guiding you here. First of all, remember, even though this book might have been written 10 years ago, we're speaking to you now. Now, in this moment. And we are not the only guides that you have in your life. Be aware of that. Don't say, well, I gotta run back to Paul Selig's book to find out what the answer is. The answers are already in here. This is not a dangerous operation, you see. No more so than preparing for any journey. But we do understand that the experience some of you have of feeling us when you are working both delights and frightens. Those of you who like the experience and the acclimation of higher knowing and vibration are thrilled to have a manifestation that you may know in physical form. Those of you who desire this only on an intellectual level are often challenged when you feel the vibration because you assume something must be happening that you are not in control of, and that is not a good thing in your mind. In other words, it scares the shit out of you. And they're saying, you know, we're not going to apologize for that. But recognize that when you are frightened by the growth or the challenges that are taking place in your life, when they frighten you or seem to take over, take a breath. Know that all of this remains your choice, whether you receive help or not. And there's not going to be anything that we necessarily have to put in your way. We are here for you to guide, to love, to heal. You are never, ever, ever alone. And when I hear those words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, I will never leave you alone, speaking us as well, I always realize that there's at least two ways of looking at that. One is, I will never leave you alone. In other words, I'll always be here for you. And the other one, which kind of is a little bit more challenging, is, I will keep poking and prodding you, right, until you fully embrace the truth of who you are. I will keep bugging you. I will never leave you alone until you embrace the truth of who you are, until I don't need to do that anymore. We are working in tandem with you at a higher level. Understand this, please. We are working with you, and the consent that is required is embedded in this teaching. In other words, you're picking up the book and reading it. So, you know, in some ways, without you maybe, excuse me, consciously realizing it, you've invited us into your living room. Okay? Thank you. Because you picked up the book and are reading it, you have invited us into your living room. We are working with you in the consent, excuse me, that is required is embedded in this teaching. Nothing happens here without your own agreement to participate in a higher level. Your soul is saying yes, perhaps, and your small self is screaming, get me out of here. Ask the small self to appeal to the soul, to the divine self if you wish, to the Christ itself if you prefer, and ask the questions you need. In other words, assure your small self that it's perfectly safe. We're not going to throw it away. We're not going to deny it. It'd be like, you know, if you had a 3-year-old in your life who was frightened that there might be monsters under my bed. One approach is saying, oh, there's no monsters under your bed, just go to sleep. Stop, you're being foolish. Or you could say, well, let's take a look. Let's look under your bed. Let's get the flashlight. Why don't you go get the flashlight? And we'll look under your bed. And we'll even look in the closet. and look in the next room if you want. There's no monsters in it. And you know what we'll do, just in case you might think that they're there, even though we know they're not, we'll leave the light on. Is that okay? So we treat our small self pretty much the same way we would treat a difficult child. Not becoming angry with him or her. Not throwing it away. Not denying their need. Saying, I know it. I will take care of those needs, especially the fearful ones, as best as I possibly can. But then you're going to have to choose, right, whether you want to continue to hold on to them. Because we've already taken all the steps we can possibly take to assure you that there's no monsters under your bed. If you still want to believe that, you're entitled to do that. But recognize that you're kind of punishing yourself by doing that, because you're creating a lot of discord in your life that doesn't really have to be there. Sometimes, I must admit, there are times in my life when I find myself holding on to fear. With the mistaken notion that somehow or another, paradoxically, the fear that I'm going to hold on to is keeping me safe. I know it's not. But sometimes we defy reason. We are working in tandem with you, and the consent that is required is embedded in this teaching. Nothing happens here without your own agreement to participate in a higher level. Your soul is saying yes, and your small self, get me out of here. Ask the small self to appeal to the soul to connect with higher consciousness, the divine self, the Christ itself you prefer. But we underline these words, nothing happens here without your consent. So if you find something particularly challenging in your way today or this week, know that you've chosen that. Might not look that way, might not feel that way. It might look like, well, it's somebody else's fault, somebody else chose that. Now, if it's in my ballpark, if it's sitting next to me in the chair, I chose it. To learn from, to grow from, stretch with. We are teachers. We are not your masters. We befriend and we support. But we do not follow you with a whip up the mountain or tell you where you have to go. We do not teach in that manner. Nor do we support others who do, whether they are in the physical plane or not. I remember Ram Dass was talking about, occasionally, I know I've sent you bits and pieces from a book called Emmanuel's Book, which I have found to be full of just wonderful, wonderful wisdom. And Emmanuel is a disembodied spirit whom Ram Dass came across through the medium that Emmanuel speaks to. Her name is Pat Rodegast, and became connected with the two of them for a while. And he said, you know, it's really interesting. He said, you know, right now we have all of these guides and all of these disembodied spirits around. We have Ramtha, and we have this one, and then we have that one, this one. And he said, you know, just because a being doesn't have a body doesn't make them any more intelligent than you are. Just because it's not a gold star, just because they don't have a body. It's kind of like what Buddha said. Buddha said, don't listen to anything anybody tells you. Don't listen to anything I tell you. Only listen to what resonates with your heart. Now, that might change periodically. It might grow. It might stretch. But in this moment of time, only accept or embrace as being the truth that which resonates with your heart at this moment.
Jerry?
Yes.
A quick little saying here I came across in the one of the self books from Self Realization Fellowship, The Spiritual Diary of Paramahansa Yogananda, on when we've talked about fear and being afraid. You should be cautious rather than afraid. You should cultivate a courageous spirit without rashly exposing yourself to conditions that may arouse apprehensions. And that just struck with me, because when we talk about, you know, being afraid, maybe it's a signal to also, instead of being gripped in the fear and unmovable, what you know, there are some things, if we look at some of the dangers, are should be taken cautiously.
Right. Could you send that along to me sometime?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
What I was resonating with as you were reading that was, let's say somebody who's in an abusive relationship. Oh, should I decide to stay? Should I not be afraid of this person who has threatened to kill me?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I also have the wisdom to get the hell out of there?
Right.
So I think that I appreciate that that piece of wisdom, Paul. It's important to remember that other side of things.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Gary, I think it was you one day that I heard say this same idea, only in the form of, I trust that God will take care of me, but when I get in my car, I still put my seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm. God will take care of me, or as the Sufis say, trust Allah and tie your camel to a tree. So don't avoid the practical things you can do to keep yourself healthy, well, and safe. They might change after a while, but for now, right, know that there is nothing that says you need to stay in or should stay in a harmful kind of relationship, either one on the outside or one on the inside. The teaching we gift you through Paul has been prepared for you in love, and underline love if you like. We are not frightened of you because we are not frightened of ourselves. We actually love ourselves because we understand very simply who we are in love. In other words, we are a personification of love. So are you. Here's a great sentence, kind of summarizes a whole bunch of pieces of work. And to be in love is to be in response, alignment, and recognition of the love of the Creator, which exists as a field that you may be attuned to. And to be in love is to be in response, alignment, and recognition of the love of the Creator, which exists as a field that you may be attuned to. In other words, it's always there. What channel are you on? Remember in a book by Kurt Vonnegut, I think it was Breakfast of Champions, he was talking about this rather decrepit old science fiction writer. His name was Kilgore Trout. Kilgore happened to be in a subway, and there was some graffiti on the wall. And the graffiti on the wall said, "What is the purpose of life?" Question mark. And Kilgore knew the answer to the question, but he didn't have a pen or a pencil or anything to write on the wall. But if he had a pen or a pencil, here's what he would have written. The purpose of life is to be the eyes and the ears and the heart and the mind of the creator of the universe. And to be in love is to be in response, alignment, and recognition of the love of the Creator, which exists as a field that you may be attuned to. The eyes and the ears and the heart and the mind of the Creator of the universe. On this mountainside, there are many places to journey to and ample places to rest. When you walk up the mountain, you will be met by several people, several entities in different forms. In other words, there are other guides and beings that are around here for you. They may appear in spirit, but more likely they will appear in flesh. And these will be the people to support you when you need to rest and reacclimate to where you are. Just like we are for one another. We didn't come here by chance. This whole gathering, whether it's electronically or in person, is contributed to the well-being of each one of us. They may appear in spirit, but more likely they will appear in flesh. And these will be the people to support you when you need to rest and reacclimate to where you are. It may be a friend you know. It may be a visitation in a dream. But each one of you, when you have the opportunity to rest, will be greeted with joy and with comfort. Here I am, taking my time to ponder my life, to understand my needs, to understand my progression as I go forward on this next stage of this adventure. The small self, the lower self, the lower consciousness, the lower vibrational consciousness, kind of thinks that all of this is being just a friggin' struggle. When is it going to be done? You know, when am I going to be finished? And it's unfortunate that, oh no, I'm not going to get into that hole. Leave that one alone. But my higher consciousness doesn't look at it as being, my higher consciousness looks at, let's say, this life or any other lifetime, really, as being a continual unfolding, a continual growth in becoming more and more and more, increasing our capacity for more and more and more unconditional love, which is the truth of who you are to begin with. There's no getting there, because the process of becoming the truth of who you are is infinite, never stops.
Gary, so, that's what Buddhists think. That's what the Buddhists believe in, a continual progression of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Gary.
Yeah.
Oh. I was just thinking about my small self, and it is small. My small self is very small, and it reminds me of when I was small. Shit. I was little. I was raised in fear, a lot of fear. And today, my divine self, it nurtures that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were saying about the young boy that thought he had monsters under his bed. He was in fear, but you nurtured that fear with love. I never felt nurtured at all in my small self. But today, mm-hmm. in this message of it says it's the response, the alignment, and recognition of the love of the Creator. In that divine self, I feel nurtured and loved, but I did not used to feel that in my small self.
But you got it now, right? Thanks, Diane.
Mm-hmm.
We need to close up here. So I'm going to do a short meditation this morning, and I will do a longer one that I will send along with the other stuff that I send out. Because I think there's a lot here to integrate. For now, however, instead of put your stuff down, close your eyes, take a breath. And as best you can, allow yourself to be at peace. Let yourself be at peace. Just breathe that into your being. Stretch. Breathe deeply. Soften yourself. Allow yourself to be open to however your teachings come through you today. Through other human beings, through thoughts, through ideas, through a piece of music, a piece of poetry. I am willing to learn and stretch and grow, to allow the teachings that I have chosen to learn this day to come to me and through me in the most gentle ways possible. I give thanks for all the angels and guides in my life who have been part of this existence. And may I be open to their continual aid and help in joy and peace, in love and in grace. Deep breath. And stretch a bit and open your eyes when you're ready. I'll see y'all. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jerry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a good week.